Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hey, Remember the 80s. This is Carrie.
And I'm Joe.
Hey! Remember, right up front, we'd like to remind you that we are not professionals. We are just a bunch of church ladies talking about 80s music, so give us a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome back, everyone. It has been a long time, but here we are again, Joe.
Yeah, Carrie, one of the reasons we took a break is that you relocated, you got a new place. So anyone that's been sending fan mail to her old address, you'll need to update your books because she won't get them there.
Yes, Joe. I am ensconced in my own little room now. I have an office before Beckett.
Oh.
I know. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Did you get to write it off then, your house, as a business expense?
We got to figure out how to do that, how at this podcast recording. Some tax accountant out there, let us know what we can do. But yeah, back in our old home, which I moved out of in April, I didn't even have an office. I recorded out of our little bonus room that didn't have walls. And then we were in the apartment for a while and obviously didn't have my own room to record in. But now I am here. I have shut the door. So no cats, no dog, no husband. Yeah. So yeah, I guess setting the stage for you all, I am in my own little bubble with you and Joe. And
it feels good to be back, Carrie. I'm happy to be recording again. I've still just been living 80s this whole time, even though we were on a break.
I know. What have you been up to?
Just listening to syndicated Casey countdowns, the serious countdowns from the 80s. It just never stops.
I know. It is fun every weekend to, there's at least one Casey countdown, sometimes two, and then there's the XM 80s on 8 countdown that they do. So, yeah, we spend a lot of time listening to those, texting back and forth about them. That's our lives. I mean, this is what we've dedicated ourselves to, Joe.
It's absolutely true, and maybe we should take a little break and give a shout out to our spouses.
Yeah, I know.
We thank you.
Yes, thank you for putting up with this. Yeah, I was thinking about it. You and I have been talking about since. So when I said when I moved to this new house, you have to help me set up a sound system because I previously have never had a throughout the house sound system. I just have like a little, I don't even know what you call it, a Bluetooth speaker that I use. But I want to set it up so I can play music throughout the house like you guys have in your house. And one of the biggest things that I keep coming back to when I think about doing that is that, like, oh gosh, Nick is going to have to listen to what I listen to now.
Because the good news is, I don't know if I told you this, you can split them up and listen to one thing in one room and something else if you want to. We don't do that, but if it's for the good of the marriage, I say go for it.
Oh, well, he has been getting more and more into the countdowns.
It's a slippery slope. That's like, I didn't think Dave would be into it. Now he's like, oh my God, I can't believe the Go-Go's fell from number 9.
I know. Yeah, Nick used to never make any comments before if I had it on. He would just kind of silently be there. But now every once in a while, he'll sort of chime in about something that Casey says or one of the XM VJs says. So it's all good. We're getting there.
Maybe one day they'll listen to our podcast.
I know.
I'm kidding. Dave has been editing this one, so I want to say thank you to Dave. He's been a real gem.
Dave is one of our biggest fans. I should check in with my husband. He did at one time, about 10 episodes ago, tell me he had not listened. So we'll see. I'll ask him.
That'll be the new update since we've seen Disorderlies.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we have to give some shout outs to some other people too, Joe, some of our loyal listeners out there in different places across the country. Where are we shouting out this week?
We found some listeners that are checking us out from Sherman, Texas, Spencer, Iowa, and St. Albans, West Virginia. So all S cities this time.
Ooh, I love it. Mm-hmm. Nice. Yep, and you can find us on facebook.com/HRT80s or search for Hey Remember the 80s, or our Twitter is at HRT80s, that's 80s. Usually we do polls and stuff in those places. We haven't had any polls while we've been gone. Sorry for that, folks. You know, life gets in the way like we talk about sometimes. We should have done maybe a poll or two about Disorderlies, Joe, but
I thought you wanted to forget that ever happened.
Exactly. Also, what can you even say about it?
Yeah, you know, there is one thing that I forgot to mention during our Disorderlies episode that I just keep coming back to, and it's that in every scene, they would have a different, like, loud, bright Hawaiian shirt. And every scene, when they had a different one, I think to myself, I own that one. So the last month or so, I've just been kind of rethinking all my choices.
That's funny. It's not something I think of when I think of you, Joe. Loud Hawaiian shirts. You must be saving those for your other friends.
Right. Well, no, it just actually, I think, was this summer was my thing. So summer's over. Summer is over.
Yeah, summer is over. Interesting. So last time we you brought, Joe, a bunch of different tidbits that you wanted to talk about. And so I have continued that tradition. I have one little tidbit to share. It's not really exciting, but I heard on the previously mentioned XM 80s on 8, Alan Hunter talking about appearing at something called NostalgiaCon, which was like an 80s reunion or something. And I was like, wow, I'm going to check that out. I wonder who else is going to be there. NostalgiaCon, which is happening September 28th and 29th, somewhere in California. I don't remember where exactly. Sorry. Is going to feature Alan Hunter, Nina Blackwood, and Mark Goodman. Those two seem to make a lot of different appearances across the country. Mm-hmm. But then when I was looking to see what else was featured, it's very sad. It's like the concerts are the Sugar Hill Gang, Dougie Fresh, Moni Love, Dokken, and some group called TKA I've never even heard of. Mm-hmm. There's a Dukes of Hazzard reunion on Saturday night with John Schneider and Catherine Bach. And then it's a mystery as to what else is happening. I was clicking through this site on the different pages like featured talent, and there's not a whole lot of information.
I don't
know.
So some things are better left unknown, I think.
But it got me thinking about the whole idea of 80s reunions and things like that. And I just wanted to ask you what your thoughts were. And would you ever attend one of these events?
Would I attend the one you just detailed? No.
Okay.
Would I mean, I think about going on the 80s cruise. Like, I think that mm-hmm. would be a dream come true. I would love to do that. But a convention with just 80s people, I think it would depend on who is. I think it would depend on the talent.
I agree. I sort of have like a very negative, I don't even want to say opinion because I don't know if I've even formed an opinion. I have negative connotations around these like cons that people go to. Like, they seem very strange. Some of them just like
are too specific.
Yeah, well, just this idea of like a person, like a like the VJs, like, are they sitting at a table and you walk up and get an autograph from them? Like, what? I don't get it. Like,
probably a round table. There might be like a round table Q&A kind of thing. Let me ask you this: if there was a John Hughes Films Con, would you go to that?
No, see, I wouldn't even because really? It's like, I don't, yeah, I mean, like, I can watch those movies, like, I don't, like, again, if Molly Ringwald was, like, sitting at a table, like, I'd walk up to her and be like, hey, it's nice to meet you, and then I'd, like, walk away, like, I don't know what kind of conversation I would have with Molly Ringwald. Here's what I'm getting at and what I don't like about this idea. I would feel bad the whole time that like Molly Ringwald was not interested in talking to me. Like, she was just there like to make money, or you know what I mean? So like, it doesn't seem organic to me. That's the word I'm trying to think of. Like, it does not seem like these people are doing this because they genuinely want to connect with fans. It seems like they're doing it because either in the case of these 80s people, like maybe they need the money mm-hmm. or, you know, they're trying to continue their careers, so they want to be more visible. It just doesn't seem organic and real to me. It seems very fake, and I don't care for that.
So let's say there was an 80s NostalgiaCon, and every person that is on the panel is like, we're here because we love the 80s. Would you go then? They're like, we well, are donating so. Our fee to charity.
Yeah, sure. I would go then.
They're donating their fee to Hands Across America.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That's sorry. We're moving on from tidbits because we have to jump in the time machine. Carrie.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. We're going in the time machine. Oh boy.
Been a long time. I hope it's still in working order, but we're going to spin that wheel from the Game of Life and see what year we are going to go to. You ready? All right. We both have to spin it at the same time. Ready?
All right.
Carrie, I landed on an 8. Do you know what that means?
Oh, we're going back to the year 1988.
Yes, it's August 6th, 1988. And coincidentally, this was Casey Kasem's final American Top 40. This was when he had a contract dispute and he got dumped or whatever. But this was the last one. And then Shadow Stevens took over and Casey went over. He jumped ship and did Casey's Top 40 for many years after that. But that was never officially Billboard charts. That was some wizard made up radio and records. And that's... the chart Casey had to use after that, and it makes me so sad.
Yeah, it is funny. We should do some kind of recap at some point about the different charts that were out there. Even beyond the, we've talked many, many times about all of the different subsets that Billboard had. There were actually other entities out there that were making charts, but we're always talking about Billboard on this podcast because that is what Casey did and up until this point. Day, so,
Hold on. I forgot to mention that we are right outside of this bookstore.
I know. I was just going to say.
Yeah, like, I got a cease and desist from Walden Books. So this is some independent place, but I see a Billboard magazine.
Well, you better grab it so we can talk about the top 10 from this week.
The top 10 from August 6, 1988. You ready?
Yeah,
right.
I'm ready.
All right, you can go first.
Okay, number 10, Joe. Ooh, Monkey by George Michael. This one was on its way up to number one. It would be George Michael's sixth solo number one and the fourth from the Faith album alone. Wow, that was a huge album.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, this was written by George Michael, and he asked Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis to produce after hearing their work on Janet Jackson's Nasty. It's seemingly about drug abuse. You know, having a monkey on your back is sort of a colloquial term for drug abuse or being addicted to something. And George Michael is seemingly pleading with his lover to get out of the spell of drugs. And the video was choreographed by Paula Abdul. Although if I'm remembering the video correctly, it was basically just him kind of like dancing around by himself in a room.
I thought it was concert footage, so.
I think it's both. I think it's intercut between him dancing around and concert footage, or maybe there was two versions. Who knows, Joe?
Yeah, we'll see.
I liked the song. I think I remember having sort of George Michael burnout at this time, by the time Monkey came out, because Faith had been around for so long, and it was such a huge album, and his songs were all over the charts that... This one was a little bit disappointing, I think, in comparison to the other hits from that album, like Faith and I Want Your Sex, but it holds up, I think.
It does. It's not my favorite from the album, but there's so many hits from that album. It's, you know, they can't all be the best.
Did you know that Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis had produced this?
No, I really did not know that, and I'm stoked to hear that because, I don't know, I always just think of them working on Janet Jackson stuff. I'm glad they were branching out and doing some other things, and I think I mentioned to you there was an article about them in Entertainment Weekly, and they have a comeback album that they're getting ready to release. So they'll have a lot of guest vocalists on there. So I'm curious to check that out and see how they've evolved.
Yeah, that does sound interesting.
At number 9, we have one of the more iconic singles of the 80s. I think that this one is one that a lot of people would say, oh yeah, that's my favorite 80s song. It's Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard. I'm sorry, Pour Some Sugar on May.
What is wrong with you?
That's how they say it.
Oh, okay. I was so distracted by this. Like, who are these people that are saying this? If there's anybody out there that's saying that Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard is your favorite 80s song, we need to talk.
Carrie, you didn't grow up in Missouri, so
you're right. I'm
gonna let
so
that
sorry.
Slide.
So sorry.
She is in a bubble, folks. So this song was produced by Mutt Lang, who has a pretty cool name, but then you have to remember that he's the one that worked on Shania Twain stuff in the 90s. they got married and then he cheated on her with the nanny or no, sorry, not the nanny. It was like her friend, maybe.
Yeah, it was her best friend.
And then she ended up marrying that woman's ex-husband.
Yeah, it was very sordid. Ooh, so Mutt yeah. Lange.
Mutt's in the doghouse. So he did tons of work in the 80s before he went on to ruin lives. He worked with AC/DC, Foreigner, The Cars, and Billy Ocean. So pretty varied musical styles that he was working on. This was the last song written for the album Hysteria. It was specifically intended to be a crossover hit, but it was the fourth single released from the album, which that timeline always throws me off. I just remember this record being huge, and I felt like it was huge from the beginning, but maybe there was that year I had no idea it existed, and then this song came along. The lyrics were written as stream of consciousness, which makes sense when you listen to it now, because what does any of it mean?
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. So it's at number 9 this week. It's on its way down from number 2. It was held off by a song we'll talk about later. And their next single, Love Bites, would be their only number 1 hit, which is insane because you'd think this would be it.
This is one of those songs that when you hear that it didn't go to number 1, you're like, what? Because, like, I guess what you said, I mean, if it's your favorite 80s song, God bless you. But it really was one of the most iconic. You said that at the top, and I agree. So I was saying on the Fox Oldies, I talk about that a lot, one of my favorite internet radio stations, but I was saying in the chat box that there are certain songs from the 80s that are so crazy to me that I thought they were the biggest songs in the world just because they got played on MTV so much. Like, I don't think I listened to the radio so much in the 80s as I just watched MTV. So, long story short, I cannot believe that the song only went to number 2 because I literally feel like MTV played it every hour on the hour for months on end.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you brought that up, too, because it reminds me of the next game I wanted to play on the show with you. Should I give you the details now or wait?
Why don't you tell me now?
Okay. So I'm going to make a list of songs and you have to guess if they hit number 1 in the 80s or not.
Ooh, that is, I love that.
But you can't study. You can't study.
I won't.
You got to wait. Maybe next week we'll do it.
Okay. Yeah, this is one of the ones that, again, there are some pretty famous songs that only went to number 2 and then were held off by other songs. So moving on to number 8, I Don't Want to Live Without Your Love by Chicago. This is from the same album that has the hideous Chicago song, Look Away.
Well, it's got good company.
I know. Sorry to my mother, who apparently loves Chicago so much. But this is on its way up to number 3. It was written by that powerhouse duo, Diane Warren and Albert Hammond. It features lead vocals by only keyboard player Bill Champlain. That is the only Chicago song to ever do that. Chicago was pretty famous for having different lead vocalists at different times or mixing up vocals, like having dual lead vocalists. I guess, how can you do that? But whatever. Peter Cetera obviously sang a lot of their songs, and Bill Champlain sang co-lead vocals on certain songs. But this is the only song in Chicago's discography that he ever sang only lead vocals on. So good for you, Bill.
Yeah, he took it to number 3. That's pretty impressive. And that's probably the best thing I could say about this song.
This is one of those ones that I just, it kind of sounds like a lot of other Chicago songs. So it doesn't really, it's not very memorable to me. Mm-hmm. There are some Chicago songs that I really do like from earlier in the 80s, Peter Cetera years, and some pretty heartfelt ones that are, you know, sappy, yes, for sure, but still good. But this one is just kind of gets lost in the mix.
It's boring to me. If you told me this was from the same album as You're the Inspiration, I would have absolutely believed you and not questioned you and not talked about it ever again.
I know. That is true. There, I mean, Chicago kind of was doing the same thing from like the 70s into the 80s.
I think,
like,
they were way 80s. More interesting in the 70s. I don't know. Those, yeah. Didn't they have like a bunch of horns and they were almost kind of like funk? Well, I mean, for them.
Yeah. Their ballads always kind of sounded the same. I just heard Color My World on the Casey Countdown as a long distance dedication. And I thought to myself, God, like, they were still doing this like 15 years later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we better move on or you're getting written out of the will.
Yeah.
Number 7, we have I Don't Want to Go On With You Like That by Elton John, which is a mouthful. This was on its way up to number 2, making it Elton John's highest charting single of the 80s. Can you believe it?
No, I cannot believe it.
It's very sad. Thinking of his 80s songs, not a whole lot stand out to me, but even like Little Genie, I love that song.
I know, that is actually the one that I thought of because, again, it's one that it must have been on the chart for a long, long time because you hear it in so many different countdowns that we hear. But
I think it went to number 3.
Probably.
Yeah. So Elton admits he was doing copious amounts of cocaine during this time, and it's sung from the perspective of a man being cheated on by a woman. He wishes, right? He was still married to a woman at this time and not publicly out.
I just thought this was funny, just the juxtaposition of I don't want to live without your love at number 8 and I don't want to go on with you like that at number 7. One of those chart coincidences.
Yeah. A lot of don'ts in this countdown, like both in title and would I listen to them again?
Yeah, there's not much more to say about this one. I mean, it really has kind of faded in time. I mean, for being his highest charting single, it's certainly not one that you hear played. I mean, I'm thinking of like I'm Still Standing and even like we talked about, like Little Genie, it feels like gets played more than this one.
Right. Yeah. This one, I think people just want to forget about.
All right. Number 6 is 1-2-3 by Gloria Estefan and Miami Sound Machine. It's on its way down from its peak of number 3. This was the band's 7th top 10 hit and the last as Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine, because moving forward from this, she would be credited as a solo artist. So there was a lot of drama around this that I didn't realize. So drummer Enrique Garcia, who co-wrote the song with Emilio Estefan, would say around this time, there is no Miami Sound Machine. There is Gloria and Emilio telling a bunch of hired musicians what to do. Meow.
Ay, caramba.
This is also one of those ones, I think, that has kind of faded a little bit and definitely overshadowed by their other hits.
Rhythm
is
going to get you. Get on your feet. Those you hear a lot.
Yeah, and definitely more, even I think her ballads now, like Anything for You. I can't even remember the name.
That's it. Don't Want to Lose You.
Those are great ones. But yeah, this one's fine. I mean, it's fun. It's got a nice beat. But yeah, you definitely can. I mean, I guess I don't know all the inner workings, but I can't begrudge her by going off on her own because she really was. I mean, she was that band. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, she was.
Whatever. Get yours, Gloria.
I have specific memories of loving this song, and I think my mom had the tape, and I would borrow it all the time, and I had these little puppets that I would make lip sync the song.
Oh my God. Wow, what a story.
We can cut that out too.
No, I love it.
Okay, fine. So moving on to number 5, we have Sign Your Name by that weirdo Terrence Trent D'Arby. Sign your name across my heart. I want you to be my baby. Sign your name across my heart. I want you to be my lady. And this was the follow-up to Wishing Well, which is a really good song. And that one went to number 1. Sign Your Name would peak at number 4 the week after this countdown. And Terrence Trent D'Arby would have one more top 40 hit, Dance Little Sister, in October, and then he pretty much disappeared. Sign Your Name was written by Terrence Trent D'Arby. He said it was inspired by a dream he had that Sade asked him to write a song for her, which is weird. I don't know why he would tell someone that, but Casey Kasem likes to tell the story of how Terrence Trent D'Arby joined the army and then went absent without leave. He was court-martialed and dishonorably discharged. He also had a reputation for a big ego, and he now goes by the name Sananda Maitreya. which came from a dream and is not associated with any religious conversion.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on. I don't know. I love that story that Casey tells about him being in the army, because Casey tells it like in this way. Like, can you even imagine that happening now? Like a pop star,
right?
Like getting dishonorably discharged from the army, like that would never fly. No. But Casey tells it in this really bemused way, like he was just like following his calling to become a musician. It's like, okay, well, I'm not even all that into the army, but also like, don't sign up for it unless you want to do it. That's what's gonna happen.
That sounds like spin from his record company.
That's so true. You're right.
I remember him presenting an award in the American, presenting one of the American Music Awards with, I forget who he was with, but like they walked out to do their banter and he just looks dead into the camera and just says, I can't even, Val will have to help me out, but he's just like, hello, boo, I love you. And then they like read the nominees. I like forget what name he called out, but it was like not a real name.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Weirdo.
That's weird. I love that though. I love when weird stuff happens on award shows. Yeah. I don't even watch them anymore, but I remember watching them when I was younger and being obsessed with moments like that.
Mm-hmm. We had it on tape and we'd watch it over and over. We're like, this don't make no sense. Okay, moving on.
All right, number four is Make Me Lose Control by Eric Carmen. This would hit its peak of number three the next week. It was the follow-up to his huge hit Hungry Eyes from the Dirty Dancing soundtrack, but ironically, that one only went to number four. Hmm. It was a single without an album. They must have like written it and gotten him into the studio to capitalize on that success of Dirty Dancing. It was co-written with Dean Pitchford. We've talked about him before. He wrote the screenplay and co-wrote all of the songs for Footloose. And Eric Carmen and Dean Pitchford actually co-wrote Almost Paradise.
Aww.
From the Footloose. I did not know that. I don't know if we talked about that on our, we've covered Footloose on one of our soundtrack episodes, I believe. I always got Eric Carmen confused with Steve Winwood, Joe, because they're both old white guys.
Oh, that's not fair. I mean, it's totally fair, but I love Steve Winwood.
I know you do.
That's sad to me because Eric Carmen, I feel like, is not even up to snuff when you compare him to Steve Winwood. And I believe you. I feel like they are trying to capitalize on his Dirty Dancing success because this song just sounds doo-wop. It sounds 60s. I think they were trying to dupe people into thinking it was like more songs from Dirty Dancing.
I 100% believe that. I mean, I think that's canon. Mm-hmm. That's actually what happened. Mm-hmm. I believe it. And if it's not the truth, it is the truth.
It is
for
now.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, Carrie, I think you gave me number three because you knew that you would tear up if you had to talk about this song. And it is Hold On to the Nights by Richard Marx. Is that one of your sentimental faves?
Yeah, you know how much I love Richard Marx. I've talked about it at length.
Mm-hmm. I know it's not as high up there as Endless Summer Nights.
Endless Summer Nights is the one that I famously once cried to the video of. Yeah. Told once. Everybody, so I get mocked now.
Yeah. It's okay. I've cried during countdowns, as you know, so.
Right. Yes.
So for this song, Hold On to the Nights, it was on its way down from number one. It was his first number one song, so good for you, Richard Marx. And the song spent a total of 21 weeks in the top 100, and it was actually about a friend of his that met someone he was interested in, but both were involved with other people, so they never got together, and Richard Marx's friend wondered if he had made a mistake. I don't know if we'll ever find out the truth. Maybe you should tweet him.
I know. Actually, the interview that I took that information from, he even said that he didn't know because he lost touch with his friend and he had always wondered. So I don't know. Richard Marx's friend, if you read that interview and now you have an update for everyone, let us know. Yeah. But this is the song, Joe, that held off Pour Some Sugar on Me from number one. So
wow.
Yeah, that's Richard Marx to thank for that.
Well, that's crazy because, like, I know all the words to Pour Some Sugar on Me, but I couldn't tell you the words to Hold On to the Nights, you know?
I do think that Hold On to the Nights and Endless Summer Nights, and I think there's another. Oh, and Right Here Waiting, I was going to say. Oh, boy, I was going to lose my Richard Marx superfan card there for a minute. But I think those three get melded together for people that are not Richard Marx superfans. Like, they, you know, his ballads are kind of interchangeable. While I think Pour Some Sugar on Me is definitely, there are some other Def Leppard songs that were popular in the 80s, but given that that is their huge super hit, I think it's very, people know that one over Hold On to the Nights for sure.
I think they should give people like retroactive number ones, like they give people honorary degrees.
Yeah.
Like when they get older, like, oh, here's your number one single from 1988.
Maybe they should. I mean, maybe they should go back in time and look at those charts or something. So. All right, so number two is a little song called Hands to Heaven by Breathe. Raise your hands to heaven and pray that we'll be back together someday. This was Breeze's actual debut single, and it would peak here at number two. Their follow-up, How Can I Fall, would go to number one, and they had another 80s hit with a song called Don't Tell Me Lies, which is actually one of my favorite of theirs.
I love it. That's so yeah. Cool.
And then they had a couple in the 90s, too. They were a British band, but they had way more success in the U.S. Hands to Heaven was the only single to even hit the top 40 in the U.K., and it only went to number four there. So I had a weird resurgence of Hands to Heaven. I have this memory, Joe, freshman year of college. So that would have been 1996 for me. 8 years later, I arrived at college and my college roommate and I got to talking about this song for some reason. Maybe we heard it on the radio or I don't know, but I went to the record store or the CD store, I guess, right off campus and ordered the CD single of Hands to Heaven by Breathe. I was flush with my, you know, whatever.
Work study money.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to spend it on the CD single for a song 8 years old. So my roommate, college roommate, and I would listen to this song over and over again. So that's my memory of it. I don't know what I thought of it in 1988, but it apparently made a big enough impression on me that it lasted that long.
Yes, multiple decades of Breathe fandom for Carrie.
I know. Yeah, I don't really think it holds up all that well now.
No, like it does. I love them.
You do? Okay.
I do. And this has a little bit to do with it. They are so foxy.
That's a perfect 80s word to describe them.
Mm-hmm. Far out.
They are very nice looking, yes.
Yes, they are. Let's get a drum roll. We've got the number one song for this week in 1988, and that song is Roll With It by Steve Winwood. How do you feel about this song, Carrie?
This song is good. I like this song.
It's not my fave Steve Winwood song, but it's up there. So this is spending its second of its 4 weeks at number one on the Hot 100. And if you didn't know, the music video for the song was directed by David Fincher before he made it big in Hollywood. One thing you may not know about Steve Winwood is that he has a long musical history. He joined the Spencer Davis Group when he was only 14. He was a member of both Traffic and Blind Faith before going solo. He made his big comeback in the 80s with Higher Love, which is one of my favorite songs. We've talked about it many times. But for Roll With It, after the song was released, they had to give a co-writing credit to legendary Motown songwriting team Holland Dozier Holland because of this song's resemblance to the Junior Walker hit I'm a Roadrunner.
Yeah, I listened to that one. Everyone knows it. You might not know it by that name, but there's definitely a similarity between the two. So
let me be traveling.
I am calling justified songwriting credit for those folks.
That's crazy because it's happened recently with songs like Sam Smith's Stay With Me. They gave songwriting credits to Tom Petty. And I just thought that was kind of a new thing. You know what I mean? Like the blurred lines, all that stuff. I didn't realize this was happening in the 80s. But, you know, every sound I feel like has already been created. So it's just going to get worse and worse as time goes on. Did you hear Casey comparing Magic by Olivia Newton-John to Mama Told Me Not to Come?
No.
That was on the countdown this weekend. And I was like, Casey, you're going to get somebody in trouble.
My God.
Yeah.
Wow, that I'll have to listen to that one too. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Okay, so Carrie, this week's top 10 in 1988, what is your favorite song of the whole bunch?
You know, honestly, there's not one that I'm like, you know, all of these, I guess I could take them or leave them. I think Hands to Heaven is probably the choice because even though I don't love it as much as I used to, I still do think it's good and have affection for it. But that would have to be my pick.
I also have affection for Breathe. I mean, Hands to Heaven.
Okay.
I would take that as my pick as well. I do love Roll With It, but it's really not one of my favorite Steve Winwood songs.
Yeah.
But Hands to Heaven, I will listen to every time it comes on and I won't change it. So that's saying something.
That is saying something. So there you go. We agree on that, Joe.
We do.
I guess it's time to get back in the time machine, though, and go back to 2019.
Do we have to?
Yeah, I know. For
all
real.
Right. Grab my hand.
All right, we're back, Joe, and we're still talking about the 80s, though, and it's time for our favorite segment, Songs That Time Forgot.
Songs That Time Forgot.
Yes, unofficially sponsored by the FoxOldies.com.
Where you can hear those great forgotten 80s gems.
Yeah, I wanted to mention something, Joe. Let me take a little sidebar, and this is all, again, unofficially sponsored. So Sam, I guess, at some point, if he wants to throw us some money or something. But a real fun thing that is happening starting in September on the FoxOldies.com, and it kind of ties into something we were talking about before. So every Wednesday, Sam, who is the DJ over there and runs the station, does a live flashback countdown of some chart from that week in some year. He does them from like the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. So it's not always 80s, but sometimes it is. Up until now, they have always been off of the Billboard charts. But he's doing a new thing starting in September where he's going to take all of the charts that existed at that time. So Billboard charts, radio and records. There's a couple other ones that I don't know off the top of my head. But the different charts that were all out, and he's going to kind of combine those results and make a brand new countdown, sort of combining all of the different charts and showing a different picture than just the Billboard chart. So if that sounds interesting to you, you can tune in and listen to that. Again, it's every Wednesday and it starts at 8 a.m. Central Time. And I'm looking at the list right now and it looks like September 25th is the first 80s one that he's going to do. So that week from 1987, he's going to be presenting all of the combined charts, a whole new countdown. So I'll be tuning in. Ooh. And if you want to tune in too, that will be fun, I think.
That's very ambitious of him.
I know.
He's always doing ambitious things, so I'm curious and I'll be tuning in as well.
Very cool. All right, so back to the matter at hand. I wanted to bring like a summer anthem because I'm having a good time this summer. I'm really feeling summer, Joe, and I wanted to find a summer anthem that maybe, you know, you're all played out on the ones that are being played on the 80s stations. So what's one you haven't heard before? It's a song called Hands on the Radio by Henry Lee Summer. This would actually hit the chart in September of 1988. And it only made it to number 85, but it's a real fun song that you can imagine listening to when you're driving around with your windows down. It's fun to sing along to. There's a part where he goes, oh, 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 that I really like.
Hands on the radio.
got a real nice, like, rock voice. It's kind of that classic, like, it's real rough, but it's also sweet. He was from Indiana, and mm-hmm. he toured with acts like Stevie Ray Vaughan, Eddie Money, Don Henley, so you kind of get the vibe that he was on. Henry Lee Summer's biggest hit was something called Hey Baby, which went to number 18 the next year in 1989. He had that kind of permed mullet that every 80s rock singer had, like Richard Marx. But it's real fun. I really like this song. Like I said, it just makes me feel like summer, and it just makes me feel like you're out with your friends having a good time. And I really wanted to bring one of those to you guys. So that's my pick this week.
I appreciate a summer anthem. I think I will add it and listen to it with my windows down before summer officially ends.
I know. We've got some time. There's still about a month left. So take it while you can, folks.
Well, I do appreciate a summer jam. You know that, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, I don't know that mine is a summer jam. I didn't know we were doing themes. Let me know next time.
Okay.
Gosh, I feel so dumb. It's not a summer jam, but it's a good song that time forgot. And that is Only Time Will Tell by Asia. Me, oh, starry eyed, you think that I would have known by now, sure as the sun will cross the sky, this lie is over. And if you did not know this, Asia was a super group from the UK, and it had members of King Crimson, The Buggles, Yes, and Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. And if you don't know who those people are, ask your dads. This was actually their second U.S. single from their self-titled debut album, and it followed up the number 4 hit, Heat of the Moment, which was their biggest hit. I'm a little confused about the sequencing of singles and the UK. I think this was actually the 3rd one in the UK, but who knows? It's not important. So this song made it to number 17 on the Hot 100 in 1982. And this album actually led to the band being nominated for Best New Artist at the 1983 Grammy Awards. However, they lost to Men at Work. So they didn't have to worry about the Best New Artist curse, though, because they didn't win, but they still kind of fell off. Their next album came out, had a hit in Don't Cry, and then it was just not as successful, and they eventually petered out. Oh, but since all the members were in other successful bands, I feel like it wasn't fair for them to be nominated for Best New Artist. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that's really weird, but you know, Best New Artist doesn't make any sense to me, period.
That's true. Every year, there's always someone who it's like, they've been out for 5 years, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
No point in arguing about that. So this song itself, I think, is classic Asia. It's very synthy. I know, Carrie, you like synths in your 80s songs, and this one's got synths out the yin-yang.
Sure does.
Like I said before, it is kind of dad music. I remember my dad having this record, and now I have their records. If you listen to the lyrics, I think it's about a lover that lied, and now they're leaving the relationship. But, I mean, who really cares? You just close your eyes and let the synths and space imagery take you away.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you talked about driving around to your song. I totally, if I was old enough to drive in 82, I would have been like driving around and like this would be the song I'd like try to play when I got somewhere so people knew I was listening to it. Just seems like it would sound really good, you know?
Yeah, I can imagine being a teenager in 1982 and playing this one and wanting everyone to know, mm-hmm. into Asia.
Mm-hmm. What of it?
Yeah, that's really funny. I did not know that they were such an amalgam of different groups. I had no idea. And when I was looking at this list, I'm like, wow, yeah, Yes. And the Buggles, I can definitely hear both of those kind of influences on mm-hmm. this song and the synth music of Asia in particular. Yeah, I like this one, Joe. I remember the video which I think was like them. It was like TVs, and it was like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like the TVs were showing all together, built like a man that you could see inside of the TV. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, not at all, but I will check it out.
Okay. If anyone else remembers that video, take a look at it. So
you really did watch MTV a lot.
I did. I don't know what, Mom, what was going on? Why were you letting me watch MTV so much?
She was waiting for Chicago videos to pop up.
Yeah. All right. So a couple fun songs that time forgot. Maybe next time we should do a theme, Joe. We'll decide on one and then pick songs to go along with it. Anyways, I think that's all we have for this week, Joe.
Yeah, other than letting people know, reach out to us on Facebook, Hey Remember the 80s, or on Twitter at HRT80S. Let us know show ideas, if you have any questions, if you have anything you want us to discuss, if you have complaints or disagreements, like whatever you got, we'll take it.
Yeah, if you have a theme for songs that time forgot, let us know.
Good idea.
But this has been fun, Joe. It's been fun being back talking with you about 80s on the podcast, because that's all we do in general.
It's true. We talk could constantly. Maybe one of our extras on the Facebook page, we can post like screenshots of our texts.
Yeah. I don't think those would be funny to anybody else.
That's true.
But all right, we will leave you then, everyone, with the reminder to be kind to yourself, be kind to us, be kind to others, and just be kind. It's tough out there, folks. Just be kind.
We'll be nice.
All right. Talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.